Genesis chapter 20 tonight, the 20th chapter in the first book of the Bible. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, he is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were so afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, why, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of thy eyes, unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Let the church say amen. Our Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Last week, we began looking in on this subject. You should have learned it the last time. And we're following the life of Abraham. We watched him in scripture when he was a nobody. We saw him when God found him as Abram, called him from the Ur of the Chaldees, and made him a promise that he was going to make of him a great nation when he was nobody. By the way, aren't you glad that God doesn't see you as who you are and where you are, but he sees you as who you will be and where he's going to take you? And he said to Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. He wasn't great. He didn't have children. He didn't have a lot of money, but he had God. By the way, if you're here tonight and you can't muster up a lot of things that make up a lot of value, and where you are and what you're encountering and what you're dealing with and what you're facing doesn't seem like much, don't look at what you have. Look at who you have. Amen. And if God be for you, who can be against you? We saw that in Abraham's life, Genesis chapter 12. And the Bible says he believed God when he didn't know where it was going to come from and he didn't know where he was headed to. He believed God. And by the way, you don't need stuff. You don't need things. You don't need tangibles to go somewhere. All you need to do is believe God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For we walk by faith and not by sight. If you're saved tonight, mark it down on your calendar. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right because you have God. And so we watched him move forward with God. With nothing to hang on to but God. Hebrews chapter 11, they received a word and they followed God by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Adam. Listen to me, you're going to come to a time in your life where you don't have a contingency plan, where you can't work it out, where you can't add it up, where you can't get evidence, but you've got to know that God's word is enough. And that's why Abraham is marching. And yet not long after he believed God and moved on the word of God, he went down to Egypt and lied about who Sarah was. And God corrected him for it. And he knew it was wrong, and he knew that it didn't turn out well when he did wrong. And now he's in Genesis chapter 20. And he's going to tell the same lie again. And we're looking into scripture with our sanctified fingers. And we're pointing down at the pages of our King James Bible and we're screaming to Abraham, no, don't do it again. No, don't you tell that lie again. No, don't you try that with Sarah again. No, don't you make that mistake again. Abraham, remember you tried it in Egypt. It didn't work. God reprimanded you for it. It didn't turn out well. Don't do it again. But I remind you, that before you point your sanctimonious finger at Abraham in Genesis 20, check out yourself. Because Abraham's not the first person that, like a dog, goes back to the vomit. Like a pig goes back to the mud. How many of us have run into a dead end? We've arrived at a wrong conclusion. We've made the wrong turn. We've done the wrong thing. We've made mistakes that we regret. As we heard sung just a few moments ago, sometimes we've got it wrong. God corrected us. God spared us. God preserved us. God stuck with us. He didn't set us on a shelf. He spanked us. He put us back on the path, wiped the dust off of us, cleaned us back up, and pushed us down the road. And yet, we do it again. And so I'm talking to Abraham and I'm talking to all of us. We should have learned it the last time. Now look at this story and it shows us, first of all, a developing process. As we saw with Abraham, he's journeying. Can I tell you, the Christian life is a journey. We just heard that song, life's been a journey. How many of you know it's not always the same? Sometimes the journey has you in the mountaintop, and sometimes in the same day you can be down in the valley. Sometimes the journey has you surrounded by a bunch of supporters and you blink your eyes and you're surrounded by a bunch of haters. And sometimes it seems like everything's going well and other times it seems like nothing's going right. Life is a journey. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. It doesn't mean everything's going to go your way. It doesn't mean you're never going to have problems. It just simply means I'm on a course. I'm in a race. I've been set on a journey and I don't need it all to go well. I just need it to go with God. Continuous travel that leads him to, if you would, contentious territory. If you would, he steps into Gerar. This is Philistine territory. It's away from familiarity. It's out of his comfort zone. Maybe tonight somebody's out of your comfort zone. Financially, physically, maritally, emotionally, relationally. You're out of your comfort zone. Could I tell you, don't let being somewhere you don't want to be get you to do something you shouldn't do. Yes, he was in Philistine territory. Yes, he was perhaps in potential danger, but that's never an excuse to disobey God. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you live in an enemy territory. Amen. This world is not our home. You're raising kids in 2018, you're raising them in enemy territory. If you married in 2018, you're married in enemy territory. If you're 8th grader or 11th grader or 12th grader or any kind of grader in 2018, you're in wicked territory. Hollywood is enemy territory. Hey, listen to me. Television is enemy territory. The political world is enemy territory. What Satan's got going on in this music industry is enemy territory. But let me tell you something. Even though we're in enemy territory, we still have God. So the developing process, if you would, led Abraham to a disappointing problem, a lapse in faith, a loss of focus, and a ludicrous fallacy. He took his eyes off God. I said he took his eyes off God. Sin is always the result of taking our eyes off God. Now listen to me, his lapse of faith and his loss of focus led him to a ludicrous fallacy. And you heard me say last week, your faith has to remain intact. And you can't just try to have it when the problems come. You need to have it all the time so it's there when the problems come. We got too many 911 Christians. They're trying to get with God when the trouble comes. Let me tell you something, you need to be with God every day. Not just in the hospital, I'm talking about when you got a clean bill of health. Not just when you're broke, I'm talking about when you got money in the bank. Not just when things are going terrible, I'm talking about when things are going well. Could I tell you that the person that's messed up and strung out and in dire straits doesn't need God any more than you and I need him on our best day? I need him in my health, I need him in my prosperity, I need him in my good days, I need him every single day of the hour. In him we live, we breathe, we have our being, and without him we can do nothing. He lost his focus. Too many Christians have not taken heed lest they fall. And they are living the Christian life in autopilot. Maybe Abraham just got a little callous. A little less cautious. After all, in the chapter before, he's watching God judge them. Huh? And sometimes, by watching God judge them, he forgot about the fact that God could judge him. Be careful. You could be in the Christian school classroom looking down the road of the public school saying, I'm not over there. You could be in a good independent fundamental Baptist church and look down the road and go, I'm not like that. You could have a good marriage and you could have a Christian home and you could have a pretty decent livelihood and be looking down the road at somebody that's strung out on that or holding up a sign begging for that or smoking that or drinking that or in a bad marriage, and you could point your finger around and go, oh, I'm watching God. I'm looking at the smoke from Sodom and Gomorrah and gloating in the fact that I wasn't destroyed. And while you're looking down on somebody else, you stop looking up at Almighty God. Here he is, making a disappointing problem that led, if you would, to a disgraceful product. He became a defrauded servant. She's my sister. That's a lie. She's your wife. Let me just say this while I'm thinking about it. There is never a good reason to lie. Amen. You say, why you say that? Because I know some lying Christians. Amen. Amen. Some of them in here. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't preach about lying. God doesn't like a lying tongue. Amen. And we ought to live in a day and age. Listen to me. You can't produce money. And you can't make your job better. And you can't provide your own promotion. But you can determine not to lie. Amen. If you don't get anything out of this message, you leave the building tonight determined to tell the truth. Amen. And you don't need a Bible in your hand. The reason why so many people got to start saying this, I swear to God, which they ought not be saying, and I'll put my hand on the Bible, and I promise to God. When you got to say that all the time, you got a reputation for lying. Anytime you got to bring God in to testify for you, it's because your own word's not enough. May God give us Christian people who, even in enemy territory, will commit to tell the truth, the whole truth. Amen. Because a half truth ain't nothing but a whole lie. Or the defrauded servant got his wife taken from him, was placed in a defenseless situation. Here's what getting your eyes off of God and making sinful decisions do. It puts you in a predicament where you're defenseless. Now watch this now. Oh, you husbands. Tell me how horrible it is to know that somebody else has your wife and you can't do anything about it. See, sin will get stuff stolen from you. Amen. Hey, listen to me, all you single adults. You bypass the plan of God for purity and engage in fornication and anything outside of God's will. Let me tell you something. You may get what you want, but you will lose what you need. Yeah, I'm safe. They didn't kill me because they don't think she's married to me. But even though I've saved my life, I've lost my wife. Sin never gets you ahead. Listen to me now. Sin never gets you ahead. Defenseless situation. Notice number four. Thank God for divine providence. Now look at it just a moment as you're writing down divine providence. Look at it just a moment. When you sin against God and you lose something as a result of it, the last thing you ought to be thinking about is demands. I run into so many believers who are in trouble because they made willingly, knowingly wrong decisions. And now they're being judged by God. And while being under the judgment and the admonition of God, they are giving him their list of demands. I messed up, but this is what I want. I messed up, but I want everybody to treat me this way. I messed up, but the church should do this way. I messed up, but this is how people should. Wait a minute now. When you mess up and you're being judged for it, don't be demanding anything. You better beg for something. Beg for mercy. What are you going to do, Abraham? I can't do anything. I need God. Thank God God got involved. Verse number three. By the way, we're one book into the Bible, and it's not uncommon already to see the two words, but God. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. Thank God that when we mess up, not the first time, the second time, the third time, and the I lost count of times, thank God that we're never too far along that God can't butt in. But God! When his wife was lost, another man had her. He lied and made the mistake again. God could have said, you messed up the first time, I let you out of it. You messed up this time, you're on your own. But no, he's rich in mercy and he's long suffering. And when Sarah was gone and he could have left her there, God came running to the defense of his servant. When his servant, somebody help me preach tonight. I'm thankful that I'm here tonight, because when I failed and when I faltered and I couldn't defend myself, God defended me. Amen. Not because of me, in spite of me. So God goes to the place Abraham couldn't go. Amen. Maybe you should be fired tonight. But God went into a staff room you didn't have access to. Amen. Maybe you should be dead tonight. But God went into the operating room where you couldn't go. Come on. Maybe you should be single tonight. But God went into the domain where you couldn't enter. Thank God that he's got access when we don't. Sovereign warning. Abimelech, you dead. Talk about a scary night. I mean, he's in his house and he's the king and he's got this single woman over here that he's feels like is an eligible young lady. He brings her to his place, and all of a sudden, while he's at night, he gets a dream, sleep. You're a dead man, because the woman you've taken is another man's wife. Thank God he showed up. This was a sovereign warning. Now watch this. This is providence. This is God telling somebody something that he could not have discovered on his own. Amen. And by the way, you and I have sovereign warnings from God through his precious word. Praise his holy name. Listen, this was a sin of ignorance. Abimelech took her. He didn't know that she was Abraham's wife. He took her. He thought he was doing something in good conscience. Notice the Bible says he got a sovereign warning. Notice that God revealed to us he had a sincere will. He had a genuine character. He had great concern, if you would. Listen to me now. This was a man who had done what he'd done because he didn't know any better. He was a lost man. By the way, aren't you thankful that when you were wandering around in ignorance, God didn't let you go as far as you could have gone? Somebody help me preach. You better quit acting dignified tonight. You ain't here because you knew where you were going. You here because God kind of bumped you into the right place. Amen. So listen to me now. There are some people in this building. I'm familiar with your testimony. Were it not for the grace of God, if you'd have made one more right turn, if you'd have spent one more crazy night, if you'd have hung around that crowd a month longer, if you'd have stayed in that relationship for just a few more weeks longer, you wouldn't be here tonight. But when you didn't know better, you were too spiritually ignorant to know how much trouble you in. God sent his all-seeing wise hand into the muck and mire of your mess and didn't save you from a bunch of people. He saved you from your own self. And that's what he's doing for Abimelech. Boy, you about to do something gonna kill you. And I'm gonna save you from your own crazy self. Amen. Thank God you're here at church on Wednesday night. But 10 years ago, you wouldn't have thought of it. 15 years ago, you wouldn't have thought of it. 30 years ago, you wouldn't have thought of it. You may not have been in the club on Wednesday night, but you wouldn't have been in the church on Wednesday night. But somehow, listen to me, don't just thank God for the day you got saved. Thank God the day that he saved you from dying so you could be alive the day you got saved. It ain't just about the big day when you walked the aisle. It's about all them other days where God kept you out of sin, out of failure, out of catastrophe. Somebody ought to praise him tonight. Because he's a good God. Abraham's over here just hoping for the best. What are you going to do? Bust up in Abimelech's house and threaten him? That don't go over well. You better learn how to get on your knees when you mess up. I never seen so many Christian people done acted a fool and talking about going to threaten. They're going, I'm going to go take something. You ain't going to take nothing back. You better get on your knees and ask God to show up. Amen. It's too late to be breaking bad. When you make a mistake, you don't break bad. Amen. You beg God for mercy. Sincere will. He had genuine character. He had a great concern. Amen. He had a governing constraint. He wasn't trying to mess up. And because of that, God enacted some supernatural withholding. God told him in a dream, yeah, I know. I know you did it in the integrity of your heart. Verse 6. I know that you didn't do this on purpose. By the way, aren't you glad God sees our hearts? Now, I think if we're all honest, we can find some Abraham in us and some Abimelech in us. But could I say to you that this far along in the Christian life for most of us are not Abimelechs, most of us are Abrahams. Most of us know better. But there are times in life we've been Abimelechs. And God with what? Listen, I want to talk about the justice, the grace, and the mercy of God. Here's a man that took something he shouldn't have taken because he thought she was somebody that she wasn't. But God, knowing his heart, didn't let him touch her. Amen. Come on now. You better go back and thank God. Some situations aren't scary till after you get way past them and start conjecturing about how scary they could have been if you were smart enough to know how much. Somebody help me preach. You win. Come flying through the light sometime just to thinking you got it going. And then you look in your rear view mirror and go, you know, I almost died.
That's right.
Thank God, even though I was God kept me alive. Amen. Flying through there. God kept me alive. Amen. Some of you young men, remember when you thought you were all that in a bag of chips? Some of you still think you are. But God. But God. By the way, some of you young ladies, amen. When you get to the marriage altar and you say, I do to the right man, thank God that you didn't say it to the wrong man. Now, I'm trying to preach, but I'm going to meddle a little while. Amen. We're a blessed people. God has saved us from a lot of stuff. And sometimes we need to just pause and look back and say, thank you, God, for keeping me from me. Amen. Thank God you're in an independent Baptist church tonight. But were it not for the grace and mercy of God, you could be praising Allah. Amen. And messed up in some nonsense and thinking you're some black Hebrew somewhere. And yet you're in the house of God tonight knowing you're a sinner saved by grace on your way to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You ain't praying to no Pope. You ain't confessing to no priest. You ain't worshiping no Buddha. You ain't chasing no Joseph Smith. You ain't speaking in no unknown tongue. You got a King James Bible. You got eternal security. You know that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are real. You got a good wife, you got loving kids, a fantastic pastor. I'm just kidding. I was talking to them. Amen. Some of the biggest thing God saved you from is from yourself. Amen. Every time I look at my wife, I'm thanking God I didn't marry nobody else. Amen. And you be honest with yourself, it's a whole lot closer than you calling it. Amen. Next time you go to the funeral, look at the casket. Were not for the mercy of God, it could be you. Amen. Well, what do I do after I thank God? Get up and live better. I'm not trying to live with a bunch of close calls that are my fault. Special word. Okay, you took her because you didn't know no better. Now you know better, what you gonna do about it? Come on, say amen. I'm telling you who she is. God, I didn't know it. I didn't know it was his wife. I wouldn't have done that if I knew. Okay. Now be quiet. That's his wife. Now you can keep talking about what you didn't know before you know, but you can't keep using I don't know once you know. Come on. Now, some Christian people in the building, they're still doing the same sin they were doing 10 years ago before they ever got in a good church. Yeah. Amen. I mean, you dressed like that, you didn't know better. You've been in here. You've been in the choir. You've seen godly example. Now, what you doing in that mess now? Don't get quiet. You know better. You can't be using, I don't know. You've been here too long. Teaching a class, singing in the choir, singing solos. Know how to tithe, leading people to the Lord. You need to put away some of them old repeat sins. I've been away for a few days. Amen. I saw some crazy people where I was. They're not here tonight, but you are. So you got to listen to me preach at them while you're here. Praise the Lord. Every time I go somewhere around the world, I'm glad I'm saved. I mean, you spend a little time around the world, you just feel contaminated. Get around your family. Thank God for your family. Amen. If you know better, you got to do better. Therefore, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Daddy, I didn't know better. Okay, that's fine. But after five times, you're getting whooped. Now don't beat your children because they know better and beg God not to beat you when you know better. Amen. Here's a special word. Now here's what I want you to do. First of all, the word was of comfort, essential comfort. It's okay. It's okay. I understand. The word of confirmation. I'm the one that withheld you. Okay? Don't keep bragging about what I ain't touch it. You didn't touch it because I didn't let you, Dumbo. Okay? So you keep bragging about, well, I'm here tonight because I made some wise. You here tonight because God stopped you from making wrong choices. Stop barking and start praising. And nobody in here tonight because you just, in my innovative spiritual thinking, I planned to be here. You didn't plan anything. But God. You listening, young people? Amen. You're in a Christian school. He expects more out of you. You ain't down the road in public school. You're in a Christian school. You got the Bible in your classroom and nobody's in there arguing and complaining about it. You expect it. We expect you to do better. We expect you fellas to have your pants on your waist and you young ladies to look like godly young. Yes, we do. We don't lower the bar for Christian kids. We raise it higher. Amen. And you're in a good church. We expect you to do better. Amen. I expect more out of you than I expect down the road at some place where they don't preach the Bible. You got the Bible. I'm talking about three services a week plus Sunday school if you're right with God. Preach, Pastor. Happy birthday to me. Essential comfort and emphatic confirmation. I kept you, an explicit command. Now go restore. Now that you know you got something that doesn't belong to you, go give it back to where it belongs. Amen. If I found out I wasn't scripturally baptized and I was a member of the church for 10 years, I'd get scripturally baptized. Amen. Well, it's been 10 years. That don't matter. Once you find out, get it right. Amen. If I found out I was shacking up and I shouldn't shack up, I'd break up or get married. Amen. If I found out I wasn't tithing off my gross, I'd go correct it. Are you listening to me? If I found out that modesty was in the Bible, I'd get a new wardrobe. And I'd wear the same thing until I could afford one. Don't get quiet on me. Amen. If I found out that rap music violated God, I'd get rid of it. Amen. And if I found out my social media page was a stumbling block, I'd delete it. If I had social media. Amen. Let me see what else I got time for here. Go restore her. Number five, I'll close here tonight. Developing process, disappointing problem, disgraceful product, divine providence. God got in. Now, what you going to do about it? Here's what I call a direct protest. Are you listening to me? Direct protest. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Ooh. Did you see that? They were sore afraid. This is what I call passionate concern. Passionate conviction, excuse me. Once they found out they had violated God, they were convicted. Look here. They were lost. They were lost people. Passionate conviction. Write this down. Personal confrontation. Go get Abraham. Ask him why he did this to me. Why are you telling me that was your sister when that was your wife? You trying to set me up? Perceptive complaint. This verse convicted me. I'll close here. Verse 9. What hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee? That thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Don't let the King James language get you thrown off. Man, what kind of beef you have with me? Where did I do you wrong? Are you trying to set me up? Here's the phrase that stands out to me. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Now watch this now. Here's what troubles me in 2018. It troubles me when a lost man confronts a saved man about something wrong that the lost man shouldn't perceive, but the saved man definitely should have perceived. Now, are you listening to me now? Here's a heathen counseling a hero of the faith. Amen. Sin won't make you lose your salvation. It'll just make you dumber than a lost man. And he'll be correct. And let me tell you something. I've seen lost people say to saved people, I don't understand. Ain't you supposed to be a Christian? You listened to that. You have done things to me that ought not, should have been done. What are you doing here? Don't you have church now? You going to buy that? You going to wear that? They're getting your car correcting you about your music that they don't have a problem listening to. But they have a problem with you listening to. This is a protest from a lost man to a saved man. When you ignore the voice of God, it is often the voice of lost people that God uses to remind you of what you should have already heard him say. Amen. And he's using Abimelech to challenge Abraham so that when Abraham gets right, he can be a blessing to Abimelech. May God help us. When we fail God again, we cause people to stumble. And we breed confusion amongst heathen as it concerns Christianity. God's not the author of confusion. Don't ever underestimate spiritual disobedience. It not only hurts you, it hurts those around you. And it hurts your ability to influence people for the glory of God. Let's be honest. All of us. We should have learned it the last time. Our Father, help us. Help us not to persist in foolishness. We know better. I mean, when we know better, we got to do better. And sometimes we don't learn more because we don't do what we learn already or what we've already learned. Help us. And continue to draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name.